I'm going to just throw out something that is a little bit vague, but I really want to take some time of prayer at the end as a group, because what I feel like God wants to do in this place, of course, really we know it's so big, and it can feel so overwhelming because you don't know the next steps to all the things that God wants to do. And I know He's not going to give the whole, you know, blown out blueprint for us. He wants us to seek Him, you know, in the process. And Dan has always said, as his goes, so goes the church. So did you lose me? Nope, here I am. I don't speak in the man tone, so she's got to EQ me, right? Get all the little knobs right and whatnot. So first off, I want to open with a scripture. I'm going to throw out kind of a vision concept, maybe, is that the way to put it? I'm not sure. And then I really want us to be able to pray about this together and continue to pray about this for a while. The first scripture I want to open up with is Isaiah 61, and I want to focus on this. This is, the first four verses are truly one of Dan's life verses, and I really feel like it is the message of the kingdom. It's Jesus. Jesus then refers back to this scripture as he is beginning one of his first messages, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, you know, because he has anointed me. So we'll get 61 up. All right. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So Lord, bless your word tonight and bless our time tonight. I pray that we get just manna from heaven, and that we all can contribute to this. But as we pray and seek you, Lord, I just thank you that you are going to just continue to unveil the plans that you have for this region, Lord, and for this church and our other campus and the other campuses to be produced, Lord. And we just want it to be all for your glory, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. So I want to hang out on that last part. If you could pull back the very last of verse 3, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So we're going to talk about a tree just for a second. I'm going to bring up my friend, Audrey, who the Lord had given her a real word that I know some of you might have seen it on Facebook because she posted it, I shared it too. And she shared a little bit on a Wednesday night, but we're going to pull up a couple pictures as well so you get a more of understanding of what it is that the Lord had told her and showed her. So the first picture, do you want it of the day of the ordination? What would you like?
The tree, the banyan tree.
All right, yeah. Banyan tree, and don't get confused with the bunion. It's not a bunion. Banyan, right?
Okay, so this is a banyan tree in Hawaii. On our last trip, we went to Hawaii. It was absolutely beautiful, and everywhere we went, there were these trees. They are abundant and huge and beautiful, and I was obsessed. For unknown reasons, I have like 50 pictures of trees from vacation, just trees, those trees in particular. And it didn't think anything of it until the day of the ordination. Next picture, please. And then I saw this on our anniversary, and I just burst into tears, because when I saw these people, I saw a banyan tree. Because a banyan tree is not just a tree. A banyan tree starts off like a regular tree, trunk, roots, leaves, limbs, but the fruit of this tree, this tree actually drops roots. They're called aerial roots, and these roots hit the ground, and they grow into a new trunk. And so these banyan trees have what looks like multiple trunks. It could have 2, 3, 4, 10, 20, 40, because these trees never stop growing. And it is the craziest, coolest thing. So I did some research. And the largest banyan tree in the world spans a couple of acres. And the cool thing about it is the original trunk is not there. It has no original trunk because it has grown so large and so rooted. It doesn't need the original trunk. The original trunk was struck by lightning and died. But it keeps growing, and it keeps growing, and it keeps growing. It is still the largest banyan tree in the world in India, I think. But historically, the trees are known for protection, for medication, for family gathering, for all of these really cool things. And this is what I saw in these people was just, we keep growing and we keep growing and expanding, and what started from one person has grown into two people, has grown into 10 people, has grown into hundreds of people, all living together, all supporting each other, all with different gifts, different abilities. And should something happen to our trunk, to our original foundation, we are still so solid in the rock of who he is and who we are in each other that the vision still stands of what we are supposed to do in this house and in this community and this whatever we're called to do, however big that gets. We are the banyan tree.
Yeah.
And these are our people, these are our roots. And I just thought that was so overwhelming. That is so incredibly overwhelming because these trees are so big. And it's hard to even fathom how large these are until you're standing beneath one and you see a human adult and the tree is like 50 times larger than they are. And it's overwhelming. But God is so much bigger than that and doing so much more than that. And I'm so excited to see what that looks like in the future for this house. Is how much bigger can we get? How much bigger will we get? What can God do? What can't he do? What can't he do in us? So this is why.
Amen.
I'm obsessed now with the tree.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Pull up the other picture then that I sent you, please. And this is what our banyan tree, is what she said. Who wants to pass this thing around? Who wants in charge of that? You are? Okay, you're going to be the pastor. I want to leave it, that as the last image because, again, like she said, God is growing this people, and you can take it down now. But, it's real humbling to hear what she said, which is so sweet. But the beautiful picture to be left with is this image of this tree and what God's doing. And then taking your eyes over to our banner, this is the motto that God had laid on the heart of this house. It's that families are rooted in Christ, branching out to the nations, not just the nations, but our world around us, right? And of course, we do want to send people all over the place. But I've been really contemplating for a while the prophetic words that we've had over the house for years, over the past 20 years, and the ones about us being a kingdom center, and like, what is that? What does that look like? I mean, you get just pieces. I mean, you could look at what the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then, all of the words about we're going to be a part of a revival in this region, and I'm like, and what does that revival look like? What else? We've been called multiple times recently by random people who didn't know this house and the heart that we have for, maybe not, don't know it, but Redding, California is just a real inspiration, And so we've been called the Bethel of the Midwest, called to be a Bethel of the Midwest. And again, it's like, what does that look like? And I've been honestly torn about the whole idea of revival because I got to hang out at the tail end of the Brownsville revival. Anyone else ever get to go to one of their events down in Pensacola, Florida? Brownsville? Well, I caught the tail end of it right after I'd gotten born again and I went down two times and I got to see what God was doing and it was incredible. I mean, this huge church, they had to build extra buildings where they had the overflow with monitors, TVs, so people could just be in that area. I mean, people stood in line from early hours of the morning just to get in, and I did too, and just people getting saved all over the place, and just the presence of God was crazy, and in the house, and healings that were mind-blowing, like nobody's touching them. But I also began to, through the years as you follow them, they burn out, and the church is like a, kind of desert place now. And so I've groaned in my heart, like, what does a revival really look like? And what does God want it to be? And how is it sustainable? Because one of the things that they said in some of the studies of it is that the exhaustion of the leadership got to a place where they couldn't keep up with this move anymore. And that kind of blew up. And so in my heart, I groaned because I was like, we've been through some battles in this place, just saying. And I'm like a little tired some days, honestly. And I'm like, Lord, stir that energy back up in me, that fire and that joy, because my yes is more cautious now than it used to be. I was pretty quick to say yes to the things of God because of the zeal and the passion and the fervor, and then you get through a few fires and battles and whatnot, and your yes is a little more reserved. I can consider it and say a little bit more before I'm like all into that, because I my season has changed, my energy level has. And maybe that's a God thing. Maybe I'm, because of the gray hairs that's starting, I'm turning into, you know, maybe the more of an older person who's like encouraging the younger ones to do it. I'd say yes, probably. But I really wanted to think about what would it look like to have a real revival that was sustainable. You know, because it's fun to fall out in spirit, right? Who doesn't love that? Who doesn't love to be touched and feel the present stuff? But it's so much more than that. What did Jesus really come for? What was his real purpose? Why? You know, why church even? You know, why church is his idea. And so I have, as I've grown this prayer in my heart, and even the reservation of, oh God, we're not ready for a revival here. I'm just going to say it. I just don't feel like really the magnitude of what God wants to do. Like what, and what does that even look like? Well, I was listening to a message by Danny Silk. And he's one of the main leaders over at Redding, California, Bethel, and has written tons of books. And one of the things that he said was, a revival isn't going to be sustainable because they're in a perpetual revival. It won't be sustainable without having established a transformation center within your house. And so the people that were interviewing were like, well, what does the transformation center look like? And he basically said it's like a toolbox of health. To get the people that are born again, getting them set free, getting them healed, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized, but also there's going to be some needed counseling. And he said it's not just one counselor, because there's going to be needed, you know, he listed a bunch of different things. He said because there's sozo, I don't know if you know some of these inner healing type of things. There's HeartSync, which we have the bales that are certified in. There's going to be, you know, actual counselors and whatnot. He said that it's all of these things. Because it's like a person with a gift of being called a hammer, he said, wants to make everything a nail, you know? He said, but it doesn't work that way. You need many things for this healing process. And it really encouraged me because I thought, yes, because that's what God's looking for. Families rooted in Christ. And so go to another scripture with me real quick, Ephesians 3, 17. Speaking of rooted, Ephesians 3:17. I don't know if it's up there. If not, you all should be having your Bible, right? You still have that old-fashioned book instead of your phone? I do like turning pages. I like highlighting and scratching in it. All right, so Ephesians 3:17, it's not up there, but I'm going to go ahead. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in what? Love. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I mean, I think that's a good idea of what we want to be rooted in. Number one, rooted and grounded in love. And therefore, then, the fullness of God will begin to happen in our lives. Well, one of the things that has been eye-opening as I have placed the girls in public school this year, I've been extremely grieved and brokenhearted. I've watched both girls come home every other day, giving a story and scenario of a family, of a classmate that is just broken. And one of them recently had said, he said, I loved going to grandma's house until it became the eternal visit. Well, isn't that an epidemic in our area, you know? It is, and she said most of her kids in her class have divorced homes, parents in jail, or just not there kind of parents. They're in the house, but they're just not paying attention to him at all. And Amelia's been really, really grieved for him, too. I keep reminding him how blessed we are, and the blessing, why are we different, is because Jesus has become the center, you know, of what we have. And it is so amazing, and it's so rare, and that's such a shame. And this church has a lot of healthy, beautiful, wonderful families, but God is looking for more than just that. And even within the house, though, I still feel like there's deeper levels of needing to be healed, of needing to be whole, because God's original intent was what? A family, right? I mean, Adam and Eve was his idea, be fruitful, be multiplying, and then recreate my image and likeness in the world. Fill it with love. Fill it with my goodness. Fill it with my fullness, you know? So I want to throw out a bit of a question. We see right now, I mean, for most churches, this would be like serious hot revival going on when we've got people like, of course, the Sheltons going in, seeing lives changed and bringing them in this place and getting them, and they're getting baptized. But these are still really broken people that have now a rejuvenated spirit. But their soul isn't quite there yet. None of ours are, right? Because we're all still in the process of being saved, of the sozo, the salvation part package. Our mind, will, and emotions and personality have to kind of catch up to Jesus a little bit more than our, where our spirit is perfected. And so what would it look like if we had this, we'll call it what they called it at Bethel, a transformation center, to where the people that are hot can be placed into this growth environment. And what does that growth environment look like? To where, because it's easier, people are more, hot things are more malleable, right? But when they start to cool off a little bit, it's harder to get it to bend, right? To convert to the image of the thing. Like Dana talked about with the silversmith watching the Forged in Fire stuff. It has to be heated. But they're hot and they're passionate and they are open, right? And they haven't had a whole lot of just life yet in the church world to hit them or just to cool down. So what would a transformation center look like? So I want to open it up with that question just a little bit. What would it look like and what does it need to have in it? So kind of put your thinking caps on a little bit. How could we really help to truly transform people, rooted and grounded in love, being filled with the image of God? You know, because what are the things that maybe you have needed and wish you could have had it available sooner? Does that make sense? Most of y'all are here because you pursue and continue to pursue. But there's a lot of people, they don't know how to do that. They don't know how to, like, I'm digging into stuff all the time, reading books and getting online to listen to things to try and grow and to change, trying to get the inner healing, paying to get inner healing, you know, sessions. But some people don't know how to do that, don't know what's next. So who wants to, Brian?
I think a 24-hour hotline would be amazing. I don't know how you would do that or how many people could man that, but I don't know how many times, especially when I was first born again, I was like, who do I talk to? What about this? What about that? What about this? And who has the answers? And yeah. I got to wait till Sunday to find out. You know what I mean? Or yeah. I'm trying to read the Bible and figure it out. It'd be just great to have that resource. But then you've got how many people answering the phone or how many people, you know what I mean? Like if I'm the one answering the phone 24 hours a day, then how does that work? And how many phone calls can you take at once? And who can you put on hold? And and then it's a million different.
I love that. Let's make, because, okay, I'm a refiner. I'll just say that. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy to want to, this and this and this isn't going to work because, you know. So let's just be creators for a second, though. So without refining your own thing, I love it. Having a 24-hour hotline for people. Anybody else? What's something else that you needed or would love to see? What do people need? You know, of course they need a word. You know what I mean? I don't ever want to say that Jesus isn't enough. But I'm saying, how do we get this thing really stable and established? Have these guys.
So kind of tagging off of him, I think when I became a new believer in Christ, I was not even brought to church before I was 17 years old. Didn't know, I mean, I kind of knew a little bit about it. And then after I got saved, I was off in a foreign country. It's a foreign land. And you do need somebody that you can just pick up the phone. It doesn't have to be the same person, but somebody who is seasoned Christian who I could have said, I don't know about this, you know. I just feel like this is attacking me now, mm-hmm. you know. And yeah. I don't know if a mentoring or tagging, if I'd had somebody who said, I'm going to come alongside you, beside you, and I'm going to be here for you. You know, another a seasoned woman who had been through the fire and could have said, it's okay. You know, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to grow and we're going to do this together. So I don't know if, you know, if there's some of these young girls who gave their life to the Lord and were baptized, you know, Brock and I, we had talked about it, like they're just targets right now for, you know, they need.
The enemy wants to get them back. He wants to snatch them
right.
back.
Right. Like so just, you know, like yeah. Brian said, I don't know if it's a 24-hour hotline because that's a lot of pressure for one person yeah. in 24 hours, but just to kind of tag them with somebody and just call them. I mean, if you just call and check on somebody yeah. twice a week and say, listen, doesn't matter what time of night or day it is, if you it's 1 o'clock in the morning and you are struggling, my phone's on my bedside table. I want you to call me. There's no judgment. There's no condemnation. I'm going to be there. If you need me to meet you at McDonald's, I'll come get you. We'll have coffee. We'll talk about this.
And I wish, you know, we say each one reach one and then each one teach one, you know, disciple them. And it's easier said than done because it's just really not happening. It's just hard because everyone's so busy, right? And people need to know how to understand their Bible even. Me too. I was 17 when I got saved, and I was Lutheran, and I knew more of the catechism, that book of Martin Luther, than I did of this Bible. And I have so many questions. And then to teach people too, there's a proper way to read it. Because there really is a wrong way. And I think I talked about that too, being on the wrong side of the cross versus the right side of the cross. You've got to have New Covenant glasses in reading this, or you're not going to understand. And so looking at him as Father through the lens, almost going backwards, you know, reading it from this end to the front kind of might help, you know, I don't know. But helping people understand through the lenses of the finished work of the cross and who we are in Christ, getting people to understand their identity and how to pray. You got one too?
Yeah, well, just for me, it was not only having somebody who I could call, but I needed the fellowship. I wanted to be in the presence of somebody who I knew I could trust, a mentor who would lead me, show me the right things, talk the right way, you know. And so I spent days and hours with my pastor. Anytime we would go have lunch together or go to Terre Haute together or go fishing together. We hung out because I wanted to be like him. I wanted to grow into what he was teaching me. And a lot of times I don't feel like we have time for people. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the pastor's job, but that's just who I chose.
Yeah.
But I think every man or woman who is rooted, like you say, in Christ mm-hmm. should be somebody for somebody mm-hmm. and they could go, hey, can we go do this today? Or and just
together.
Yeah. Yeah, and just fellowship and teach me the ways that, you know, and because they don't know the way, they don't know how to act, they don't know where to go, they don't know who to hang around with. And I just learned so much from hanging around with my pastor that it just taught me so much, and I grew so much more having that person in my life.
Yeah.
This is interesting because I'm freshly.
Sorry,
I'm freshly going through this process. I know I'm bad, but the one thing I needed that I didn't know I needed was space to heal and permission to just let it all out. I don't know how else to say it. Yep. And then I've had
someone to walk you through that, who
exactly
knows how to navigate that process
exactly
of soul healing.
Yeah.
And really, I would even say, like, a healing room for deliverance and mm-hmm. maybe physical healing. Brian's got a gift with that too. But the soul, because mm-hmm. out of the heart and the soul come the issues of life.
Yes. And I mean, what I've gone through in the past couple of years is almost testimony to that. And then, you know, just I don't know how else to explain it other than space to heal.
Yeah.
Just, you know, people that can just speak into you. And
we have area here
like that
with extreme abuses mm-hmm. that a lot of people don't want to talk about. They don't feel like they can trust anyone to talk about it. The molestations in this area, this region, are off the charts. The just the abuses from all the drugs, too. You know, people in this region need an overhaul. After their spirit gets born again, an overhaul for their soul, and that's what I'm talking about. And that's part of the major heart for the Bales is too, is that they want people to be healed in their heart where they know how to connect with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who was next? Brian, did you have one? Another one? Or Chrislyn did? It shouldn't have bumped. It's red. It's red. Does that mean she bumped it? Okay.
One of the things for me, and I feel like I've had this in this house, but just transparency, just knowing that I'm not alone. And I think that's, you know, being at the Ruth House, that's something that I've learned from those girls, and I've helped them to see that I'm a human too, and I mess up every day. And even though, you know, on Facebook and Instagram, my life may seem perfect, you know, I struggle too. And I think just being open in that and letting people know that, you know, just because you're a pastor's wife doesn't mean that you don't have your own, you know, struggles and your own things.
And you have no idea how many people come up to me and like, I thought you were perfect until you shared that. And I was like, please don't put that pressure on me. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and so, I think, I mean, in this house, I've always felt like, you know, I've had that with you and, you know, with other pastors and stuff. But just in general, just people knowing that we're real people too. And, you know, even though we're better than we were, I mean, you know, I've been where you're at, and I'm better than where you were, but I still struggle, and I'm still, you know, dealing with things on a daily basis, and, you know, I just think that transparency.
I mean, you hear the saying that it's okay to have a bird fly over your head but not build a nest, you know, in your hair, and there are days where the bird's flying over a whole lot, and the nest starts to be built a little bit, and you're like, what is wrong? You know, and you get your focus back. It hits everybody. And I think about, in being rooted in Christ, what's a healthy family? It's got to start with a healthy husband and wife. And I think that that is a hurting thing in the body, because I feel like if Jesus spoke to us the way that we speak to each other in our families, we would be really beat down and sad, you know? And the lack of honor and kindness, and to have people who know how to process marriage, some seasoned people. I would love to see that in the Transformation Center or whatever we call it. You know, that there are real healthy marriage counseling, so people know how to work together and become one. Because that's the mystery of Christ and his church, he said. It's a husband and wife. Now, why? I don't know. But because it's also a picture of procreation. And then teaching our children how to honor and respect and healthy relationships, parenting. Like, that's huge epidemic, too, in this nation, you know. It's like kids and parenting, and people don't know how to do it because they weren't parented well themselves, you know. And so I would love to see that. Anyone else, because we're out of time, I would like to spend a little bit of time gathered up to pray. But did anyone else, I mean, there's a lot of things. Brian's got another.
Yeah, without refining too much.
yeah, you're a refiner, too. Right?
So it'd be great if there was a place you could go. Just to be there to hang out that would be available anytime, which seems really hard, but just a place you could go and just hang out and just be there, you know, that was available. You could just walk in and be there. There might be people there. I mean, there would always be, I don't know how you would do that, but always be somebody there, but a place just to go. And then also it would be nice to have some kind of a therapy counseling where you could sign up for that. And it would be, you know, like you go on our website and say, I want to sign up for marriage counseling. I'd like to sign up for drug addiction.
So
anything
I have permission from Dan to throw this out there, because I really felt like it was, and he did too, when we had listened to Danny Silk. It was a next step that gives hope, but it's still very broad and vague to how, because Danny said for a revival to be sustainable, that already needs to be pretty established in the ministry. You know, that transformation center type thing. And so can we gather up and pray? And we'll keep the mic, because I want a few people to pray. I don't want to, I mean, if you've got a passion for any of this, I want us, let's all, come on, let's snuggle up as a family, guys, come on. We're going to gather together as a family. What we're going to do in unity here, instead of squeeze the person's hand next to you if you don't want to pray, it's pass the mic. Because for recording purposes, we want it. I want
just
it.
Have a feeling.
The mic. The mic's got to be.
Which way are you going first, so I can before I'm gonna stand?
If you don't want to pray, just pass it.
Go, pass it to her first, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Make her.
Would you like to start?
I do though.
Yeah, but. That's up to you. You don't have to. It didn't matter. I mean, if you feel like getting on the piano, it's family night. But get kids. kids are loud. In fact, kids have some of the best prayers. So if you want to pray, little ones, you're welcome to join us too. Babe, do you want to pray? Pray a blessing over the church, and then you pass it to Grandma or to Mr. Brian.
Thank you, Jesus.
To the mic, in the mic.
Thank you, Jesus, for this day, that everyone has a good day. And
bless the church
in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, and we just ask for that kingdom-centered church to be us. Give us the vision, and not just the vision, but also the finances, the everything we need to do, Lord, and the passion to do it. I just pray that it's all ignited within us, and that it's already in motion. I come in agreement with heaven and call it done in the name of Jesus.
Yeah. I just thank you, Lord, for bringing revival and bringing revival that brings true change and true transformation. And I just thank you for every person here and for what you're going to do in each person here, Lord. And I just believe that when we leave here, Lord, that you're going to just begin to give us visions and dreams of what we are supposed to be in this transformation center, Lord, whether it's a hammer or, you know, a screwdriver or a drill or whatever it is, Lord, and you're just going to reveal that to us.
Oh boy. Dear Heavenly Father, you know my heart for this. You know my heart to pay it forward for all the things that you have done through me in the past couple years. And everybody else in here, I know they feel the same way, that you would just pour into all of us what we need to do to make this possible and to be able to be a blessing to not only our community, but, you know, the world. I mean, I'm just honored.
Lord, we're just so thankful that we can come to you in a time and just ask you, Lord God, to give your blessing over this church and over this community. And Lord, that you would provide the way. Lord, you said where there was no way, that you would make a way. And Lord, whatever it is that we need here, I just call upon you, Lord, to provide it right now. And just say that you would place the people in the places where they need to be. If they're not here, Lord, that you would bring them in. And Lord, that you would just help us to reach this community, this county, this state. Whatever it is, Lord, that you are calling us to do, I pray, Lord, that you would give us the way to provide it. And I just give you the glory in advance right now in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Dear Lord Jesus, I just stand on your word that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And that you would prick our hearts, stir our hearts, be in our minds. Let us be in agreement, come into an agreement, Lord, to reach out to those in our community. Just use each and every one of us to our abilities that would bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Moving fast. There it stopped. Yeah.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you that this place has been called the kingdom center, the center where you are king.
Thank you. Now I got to listen to my own voice. Lord God, and not just where you are king, but where we are being transformed into your likeness and into who you've called us to be. Father, begin to reveal and open up in this region and in this community, not just the problems and the situations, but the roots behind it. Help us to see where we need to reach people, how we need to reach them. Bring into this house those that are needed to bring that into place, as well as those that are already here. Begin to establish us, teach us, and show us how we can transform this community, how we can change the whole atmosphere around this region, how this can become a lighthouse, as it was once called, that would shine forth everywhere, that would call your people to you, that would call them to see your face, that would change them to your likeness. Father, to heal those that are broken, to heal those that are hurting, to restore families and to bring unity back into this area, back into the churches and back into the families, Father. We ask this and we know it will be so, for it is your will. In your name, Lord.
I just thank you, Lord, for already establishing so many in this place and in this community as your pillars, as your roots to branch out and to start this, because you've given us the direction and you've been establishing us, and now it's time for us to move forward in the next step. And I thank you for a clear path on how that's supposed to work and what that's supposed to look like. Thank you for wisdom in that we would know how to love these people in the way they need to be loved. And just thank you, God, for that.
Oh, Papa, we just come before you, Lord, and we just want to say yes to you and for your purposes here in this place, in this time. And we just say, why not here? Why not now? We are so excited at what you have in your heart for this place, this region, Lord. And I'm just reminded of the song we've been doing the past couple of weeks of this declaration, Lord, this actually is a move of your spirit here. And we just testify to that. We thank you for that. Lord, I just pray for courage. Relationships are messy. People are messy. Immature people are messy. And it's hard. And so I pray for just the stamina, the wherewithal, the wisdom, the courage to get in and really learn what it looks like to do relationships well, to do family well. And even in the messy, Lord, I'm reminded that can be glorious. Childbirth is messy, but it's glorious. It's sacred. It's good. And I believe that family is the same way. It can be messy, but it's glorious. It's sacred. It's good. So, Lord, teach us your heart. I pray that the places in our own hearts and lives that are broken and have some dysfunction, Lord, that you would bring healing there so that we can learn how to do this thing well that's in your heart. And that, therefore, I don't think we can't turn people away at that point. It will look so good. It would be so good that we just, people would be clambering to get in. And so we thank you in advance for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for just turning our gazes toward you in unity, Lord. I pray for unity. And I bless all the pastors, Lord, that are out at the conference in Tulsa as well. And I pray that it would be a time of refreshing for them. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I just thank you for what is coming, what we're in now. Thank you that we are going to be part of Bethel of the Midwest. I thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in each of us and that we all get to be a part of it. We get to grow together. And that you're doing deep, deep things within us, within our hearts, that you're uniting us, and that we're a solid front, and that we're here for you, Father, but that we have the courage, like Stephanie was saying, to step outside of our comfort zones and to be that bridge in someone else's life. We just ask you to mess us up.
Lord, I just thank you for this family, this whole church family that we have, Lord, and that this is just a safe place for all of us. We can come in, be ourselves. We don't have to worry about being judged. And we just thank you for pouring out your blessings upon all of us tonight, Lord. We just ask that you continue to bless us spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally. We just give you the praise. Amen.
Jesus, we thank you for the Lord. We thank you for that you will heal us up in our bones and our bodies. We thank you that you are healing us up. We thank you that you are going to be so good in church. We thank you that you blessed us. Amen.
Well, Lord, we thank you for tonight and just the infancy stages of a new season, as we are into our 20th, going into 21st year, Lord, that you planted whosoever will hear. And we want to abide in the vine, and we want it to turn into this huge banyan tree that reaches into an entire territory region of transformation and the full of your glory, Lord. So as your first parts of your ministry is that you were to bring good news of the gospel to the poor and to bind up broken hearts, Lord, we thank you that this house has been called, like Isaiah 61, we're anointed for this. So we thank you, God, there's the call, the plan, and the timing, and that we won't miss it, that we'll fulfill the call for each one of us purposed in our time here on this earth, that each one of us fulfill our purpose and destiny that you had put in this place as a body. We thank you for that. Bless everybody.